Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the second letter to the Corinthians in the 10th chapter, verses 12 and 13, where Paul reminds us, "Oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant. We will not boast about things done outside our area of authority. We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work that God has given us, which includes our working with you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. Pastor Greg Groeschel tells a story about how when he was young, he was 10 years old, he had an 8-year-old sister, and for Christmas, every single year, their grandmother would get them the exact same gift, a card, and in the card would be a check for $20 each year. A card and a check for $20. Every year, a card and a check for $20. Well, one year, Christmas came around, and his 8-year-old sister opened up her gift, and it was from her grandmother, and it was a card and a check for what? $20. He waited until she got done, and then he opened up his card, and it was a card and a check for what? $20. But what he decided to do was to be a little bad. He opens the card and he pulls out the check and he says, $100? Well, of course, his sister looked at her check for $20 and ran to her room crying. I want to share with you today in the fifth sermon in our series that we're calling It's a Trap. And the main point I want to say today is this: where comparison begins, contentment ends. Can you say that with me? Where comparison begins, contentment ends. And I think that we do more comparing today than any time in history. We compare our cars, our houses, we compare our clothes, our checks. And with social media now, we can compare vacations, we can compare weekends, and even we can compare food. It never ends. Rick Warren says the grass might be greener on the other side, but that just means they've got a higher water bill. We've been saying it over and over again, there's no win in comparison. Last week I was in West Virginia, and I met a couple, and the wife said that yesterday, or the day before I met her, was her birthday. And so I made the mistake of turning to the husband, and I asked, "What did you get your wife for her birthday?" Here's what he said. He said, "I cleaned the whole house, I made her dinner, and I bought her 100 roses. I said, "You know what? Don't ever tell that story to my wife." Because where comparison begins, what? Contentment ends. Paul the Apostle is talking, and he says it this way: we wouldn't dare say that we're as wonderful as those other men who tell you how important they are. Sounds like they're bragging on themselves, right? They're constantly puffing themselves up. And yet, they are only comparing themselves with what? Each other, using themselves as a standard of measurement. And he says, how ignorant. "Oh, he doesn't wear a tie like I do, so I must be better than he is. Oh, I've got a nicer car than he has, so I must be better than he is. Oh, I work harder, I deserve more. Look at how I am," and I'm boasting, and I'm talking about how great and how wonderful I am. But every time I do that, do you know what the Apostle Paul says? It's stupid, it's dumb, it's ignorant, and we're using the wrong standard of measurement. A little boy came to his mother one day and he said, "Mom, guess what? I'm 8 feet 4 inches tall." His mother said, "What?" He said, "I'm 8 feet 4 inches tall." Mother said, I don't understand. He explained that he got a ruler at school and he's been measuring himself and he's 8 feet 4 inches tall. Well, after a little bit more inspection, the mother realizes that he's been using a 6-inch ruler. So in fact, he's just a little bit over 4 feet tall. And in the same way, Paul is saying that we use the wrong standard of measurement. We're using a prototype that is flawed. We're comparing ourselves with a straight line that's crooked. It does not make sense. And even more, we can never be fully who God made us to be if we're always comparing ourselves to someone else. I want to make a few points here. And the first point I want to make is this. Envy distracts me from God's purpose. Can you say that with me? Envy distracts me from God's purpose. Envy takes my eye off of God's best plan for me and makes me jealous of what God is doing in someone else's life. Pastor Nelson Seary tells a story about how when his son was a toddler, he would always crawl around the floor, and they had a dog, and he would watch the dog eat from the bowl. And so, of course, the little toddler would go over to the dog bowl and try to eat the dog food from the dog bowl. And his dad would grab him and say, ah! And when the father would pull him away from the dog bowl, you know what? The kid would cry. Like, why are you being mean to me? Why can't I have this? And he would say to him, son, that's not for you. I've got something better for you. And what a way for us to think about it. The thing that we're jealous about, the thing that we're so desirous that someone else is having, that's not for you. And God's got something better. God's prepared a table before us. Even in the presence of our enemies, our cup runneth over. God has something good for you. And as long as we're just focused on what someone else has, we're missing God's purpose in our own lives. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, for I know the plans that I have for you. Not for someone else, but for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It's as if God is saying, don't worry about how I'm blessing someone else. Because if you do, then you're going to miss out on the blessing that I have for you. Here's the second thing about envy. Envy rots me and makes me cruel. Can you say that with me? Envy rots me and makes me cruel. There are two types of envy. First of all, there's benign envy, and that's where I want what someone else has. And then there's malignant envy, and that's when I actually want something bad to happen to someone else. There's an example of this in the Old Testament with the wisdom of King Solomon. You'll remember the two stories. There's two women, and both of them have children, but one of the child dies. And one is alive, and the mothers are arguing about which is the mother of the live baby, who the baby belongs to. And so they go to King Solomon, and King Solomon says to do what? Cut the live baby in half. And one of the mothers says, yes, of course, do that. And the other mother says what? No, give the baby to the other lady. And King Solomon says, give the baby to this woman because she is the true mother. She cares more about the life of the baby. It shows the wisdom of King Solomon, but it also shows the malignancy of envy. How it's not just enough to want what she's got, but I'm willing to have the baby die. If I can't have a live baby, nobody can have a live baby, right? It's that cruelty that can come out of comparison and envy. Now, I can't help but notice that there is a benign and malignant envy, but what else has the same kind of titles with that? Benign and malignant. Cancer, right? Cancer. And isn't envy and comparison and jealousy a kind of cancer that rots us from within? Isn't that true that we can be so fixated on what someone else has that it can destroy us from the inside out? Proverbs 14, verse 30 says this, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy what? Rots the bones. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a cancer to me. It's an emotional cancer within. The patient said to the doctor, "Doctor, I'm so nervous. This is my first operation." The doctor said, "Don't worry about it. It's my first operation too." The first thing that we need to do to remove the cancer of envy and comparison is, instead of being envious, be inspired. Instead of being envious, be inspired. Instead of being upset that you don't have the skills or the talents or the look of someone else, be thankful for those people in your life and be inspired to do something great with your own. I think that it's absolutely fine to be inspired by people and to inspire others. Here's a definition of inspiration. Inspiration is when we're stimulated to achieve something greater through the example of others. And that's a good thing. That's different than envy. And we are called to be an inspiration to others. 1 Peter 3:15 says it this way: "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." In other words, people should look at your life and they should see that you've got some hope, some joy, that you've got some love, that you've got something special about you, and they should be inspired. They should want to know, how can I have some of what you've got? That's not jealousy. That's not envy. That's inspiration. But it starts with being thankful for the life that God has given us right now. It starts with us taking a breath. Let's take a breath and let it out. I think it was Reverend Mary Miller who was here at Lawrence. She had, I might be saying the words wrong, OPCD or COPD, and had difficulty breathing. And I remember that sometimes I would just go and visit with her, and the only thing that we would do for a while is just breathe together. I'd wait until she caught a breath enough to speak. And this is what she said: "Pastor, I never realized what a gift the breath I'm taking is. Not the next breath, but the breath I'm taking right now. What a gift." What would it be like if we were thankful, not for when we retire, or not for when we get the paycheck, or not when we complete the project, or not when the new year comes, but right now, here and today, in the moment, in the breath? What if we were to be thankful for today? Here's another way that we can get rid of that envy. Practice kindness to the people that you envy. Practice kindness to the people that you envy. I started looking in the Bible at examples of envy, and it's interesting who it is that we envy. We don't envy Bill Gates or the people that are hugely rich. But the stories of the Bible, like Cain and Abel, like Jacob and Esau, like Joseph and the coat of many colors, those are more practical. And in all of those stories, who did they envy? They're what? Brothers. They're brothers. For us, our brothers and sisters, those are the people that we envy. And isn't it funny that the people that we are called to love the most, sometimes we treat the worst? Why is that? Instead of responding with an action of envy, respond with kindness. Give them a compliment. Give them an opportunity to share about what's important in their life. And I know what you're thinking: "Pastor, I understand, but I don't feel like doing that. That's hard. That's tough." Well, here's what I'm going to say. Pray that God would give you the emotions to match your actions. You just go on ahead and do it. You've heard the saying, kill them with kindness. You've heard that, right? Here's what I want you to do. Kill envy with kindness. Be kind. Be loving. Instead of saying, "Oh, no, here they go again with that story," give them a chance. Give them a chance. Encourage them. Don't cut them down. And then the last point that I want to make today is this. Know who it belongs to. Can you say that with me? Know who it belongs to. The key to any stewardship message is that ultimately everything belongs to God. Not just the 10% that we tithe. It all belongs to God. I don't have to be jealous or upset because ultimately it's not mine. It belongs to God. Pastor Greg Gershell is a little bit older than his sister. And for Christmas every year, their grandmother would give them the exact same gift. She would give them a card and a check for how much? $20. Every year, over and over again. Well, one time the daughter opens up her card, and inside she's got a check for $20 from her grandmother. And Pastor Gershell, being a brother, he opens up his check for $20, but he shouts out, $100? Well, his sister is all upset, and she runs into the room crying. The next year rolls around, and of course the same thing happens. Sister opens up her card, and she pulls out the check, but I think that grandmother must have heard what had happened, because when she opened up the check, she had for real a check for $100. And she said, oh my goodness, $100. Well, Pastor Greg got all excited. He opens up his card, and there certainly was a check, but how much was the check for? $20. He said, that's the last time I ever compared gifts with my sister. You don't have to compare your gift with anyone else. God made you to be you, and that's someone special. God has gifted you, not with a check for $20 or even $100, but God has gifted you with the breath of life. God has given you an immeasurable gift of his grace and his mercy. And God has given you the opportunity to be part of building his kingdom. Amen? Amen.